Okay, good rough to everybody. Good to be back. Good to be learning together again. Parsha Shlach is the Parsha of the Meraglim. And I would like to take another look to revisit the Parsha of the Meraglim from a different angle, from a classic angle, really. But in light of the Shiurim that we've been delivering the last few weeks, I'd like to take a look at the Parish of the Netziv, the commentary on the Netziv in his Emek Davar. And Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin has a classic commentary, a classic parish on the event of the spies of the Meraglim. Really, he's piggybacking on a commentary of the Ramban. Nachmanides has a very, very, very famous position, opinion, multiple questions and a resolution to the parish of the Meraglim. But in order to better understand the Meraglim, what I'd like to do is to go backwards and to rewind and to really review two very critical points that the Netziv makes. And if we understand the approach of the Netziv to Sefer Bamidbar, which we have been addressing, elucidating, discussing, the Parsha of the Meraglim becomes very, very understandable and becomes much more of a global picture that it gives us, and not only as an isolated incident, not just as a sin and as a punishment as to what locked us into the Midbar for 40 years, but rather the Meraglim sort of sets up a very, very unique blend of the story which has been taking place and which has been unfolding in the Midbar. So let's review the Netziv's approach to Sefer Bamidbar, and then you'll see how it fits squarely in to his analysis of all of Sefer Bamidbar. You may recall that in the beginning of Parshas Bamidbar, Sefer Bamidbar, we took a look at the Psicha, the introduction of the Netziv to Sefer Bamidbar. As I mentioned before, the Netziv, in each of his five books, in each of his commentaries, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah has a Psicha as an introduction, and his introductions are always mind-blowing, that it gives us insight into each of the Sfarim that we're learning. So Parshas Sefer Bamidbar is no different, and the Netziv begins by telling us that Chazal understand that the name, the book that we refer to Bamidbar as is Sefer HaPikudim, Chumash HaPikudim, the Book of Numbers. And the reason for that is in Parshas Bamidbar there's a census, and in Parshas Pinchas there is a census. So there's two times that Bnei Yisrael are counted in Sefer Bamidbar. The first, when they enter the Midbar in year 1, and then when they leave the Midbar in year 39, preparing for year 40 to enter Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, the two census which take place in this 40-year sojourn in the Midbar, the beginning and at the end. And therefore, the Netziv explains that that's the reason why this Chumash, why Sefer Bamidbar is called Chumash HaPikudim. But it has to be a lot more than that, because you're not just going to call a book numbers because they're two census. Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYashar because it's about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, the book of the upright and their lives. Sefer Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula because it's the book of redemption. It speaks to who we are as a people and the redemption that took place leaving Mitzrayim, ultimately with the plan to enter Eretz Yisrael. Sefer Vayikra is called Sefer Toras Kohanim because it's the laws of the Kohanim. Sefer Dvarim is Mishnah Torah. It's a recap. It's a review of all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. But Sefer Bamidbar, Chumash HaPikudim, the Book of Numbers, how do we understand that as being a crucial, essential, and fundamental message of all of Chumash Bamidbar? So the Netziv explains that there's really something incredibly important taking place in each of these two counts. The first count is different than the second count. The first count is a count when Bnei Yisrael are entering the Midbar on a high. When they're entering the Midbar, piggybacking upon Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, they're living the lives of the supernatural, the Anane HaKavod, the Man, the Be'er, the Slav. The Jewish people's relationship to God is one where it's very apparent, very obvious, five-finger clarity. We're able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu whenever we want, however we want. God hovers over us through the Ananim, through the clouds of glory. The Eish is what protects us. We have water, we have food, we have sustenance, we have whatever we need. We have complete protection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachal is like a nursing mother cuddling her child. That's our relationship to God. And therefore, if you take a careful look in Sefer Bamidbar, in terms of the census, first comes Ephraim, and then comes Menashe. And the Netziv explains as in his psicha that Ephraim represents Torah, Ephraim represents Tefillah, Ephraim represents the spiritual brother. Menashe, on the other hand, represents the brother who is supportive of his brother's Torah. Menashe works the land. He is the one who's involved and engaged in commerce and in business. And the two work together in tandem beautifully. But Ephraim comes first and only then Menashe, because when you're living in the world of the supernatural, you're living in the world of the Ananim, you're living in the world of the Midbar, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Matan Torah, therefore the world of Ephraim trumps the world of Menashe. However, if you look in Parshas Pinchas at the second census, which takes place when Bnei Yisrael are preparing to leave the Midbar, to enter Eretz Yisrael, who comes first? Not surprisingly, says the Netziv, it's Menashe. Menashe comes first and then Ephraim, because as we enter the land of Israel, we are going to have to till the soil, we're going to have to sow the land, we're going to have to do everything with our hands, and no longer are we just going to be passive and to sit back and to protect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to protect us and to take care of us, to feed us, to give us the water. The man is no longer. The Anane HaKavod are no longer. The Be'er is no longer. We don't have that aspect of just simply sitting back and passively receiving the Shechina and everything that comes along with it, but rather we're going to have to live the world of Menashe. And therefore, in the count that takes place in Parshas Pinchas, first comes Menashe and then comes to Ephraim to speak to that transition that's taking place. Furthermore, the Netziv says that if you look at the count in Parshas Bamidbar, you will see and you will notice that the count takes place surrounding the Mishkan. All of Bnei Yisrael, the population, Klal Yisrael, surrounded the Mishkan as the encampment is described, and the census is based upon the encampment surrounding the Mishkan, Machaneh Shechina, Machaneh Leviyah, Machaneh Yisrael, and the whole count, the census takes place based upon the surrounding of the Shechina. However, if you look in Parshas Pinchas, it's different. Categorically, the count has nothing to do with the Shechina. It's not based upon our encampment, because we're slowly becoming separate from the Shechina. It's waning. Our relationship and our open relationship, the five-finger clarity that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is slowly beginning to transition from the Nisus to the Tivis, to the magical, to the majestic, to the miraculous, to the open, to the closed, to the hidden, to the more distant relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's that for that reason that doesn't take place. And therefore the Netziv explains that's really the reason why this Chumash is called Chumash HaPikudim, the Book of Numbers, because the count, the census which takes place in Parshas Bamidbar, and the census which takes place in Parshas Pinchas, speaks to this very, very massive change. This incredible transition, this categorical and critical transition which takes place, moving from the relationship that we have openly with Hashem, the Hanhaga Nisus, which the Netziv refers to it, to the Hanhaga Tivis, to the relationship which is more natural, which is more hidden. Therefore, that's the difference between the count in Bamidbar, the count in Pinchas, and thus the name of Chumash Bamidbar as Chumash HaPikudim. Last week, we discussed the Nunin Hafuchim, the inverted Nuns. And you may remember that the Netziv also commented, both in his Psicha as well in Parshas Baloscha, that there's a very significant divide that takes place. This division, which we're describing, this significant change which takes place in our relationship with God in the Midbar takes place, Dafka in Parshas Baloscha, when the Misonanim begin to complain, and the Asafsuf begin to complain. It's at that point, when those inverted Nuns are placed in the Torah, that's the point where there's a separation, where there's a different book. And thus the Netziv explained that that's the Pshat in the Gemara, in Mesechah Shabbos, Perek Kol Kisveh, that Rashi quotes, that really there are seven books of the Torah, not five, because you have to divide Chumash Bamidbar into two. The first half of Chumash Bamidbar, Parshos Bamidbar, Naso and Bahaloscha, are the parshios of the Hanhaganesis. It's the parshios of the Man, of the Be'er, of the Slav, of the Anane HaKavod. We're living the world of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Makos. We're living the world of Kriyas Yamsuf. We're living the world of Matan Torah, the magical, the supernatural, the miraculous. but that all comes to a stop in Parshas Baloscha. Immediately, with those inverted nuns, we begin a new life, a new world, a new introduction in our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that introduction is called the Hanhaga Tivis, the relationship that is not based upon the supernatural. There's not going to be the Anane HaKavod anymore. There's not going to be the miraculous relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as clear as it was up until this point, and thus the new Chumash begins, and that's called the Chumash of Hanhaga Tivis, the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch, which is more hidden, which is more distant, and thus Parshas Baloscha, the Parsha which we are climbing triumphantly to reach Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yisro, as we described last week, Hanosim Anachnu, we're headed, we're going to the land of Israel. There's going to be a very, very simple and easy transition from Yitzias Mitzrayim to Kriyas Yamsuf, to Matan Torah, to Eretz Yisrael. That's how God had planned it, and that was the intention of HaKadosh Baruch. Immediately after Matan Torah, we are simply walking days and days away from entering the land of Israel to ultimately reach the perfection that was so desired of us, that we were so prepared for, that HaKadosh Baruch had planned for us. But the plan goes awry. And as we packed ourselves and were headed very quickly to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael through the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, who was leading Klal Yisrael through this magical, miraculous effort, that all gets steered and stopped immediately upon the misonanim, the Asafsof. Therefore, we can now explain Parsha Shlach and the commentary of the Netziv, piggybacking upon this commentary of the Netziv in Parshas Bamidbar, Naso Baloscha, as he gives us this overview in his psicha. And the Netziv asks at the beginning of the Parsha, Parsha Shlach, why are the Meraglim now? Why all of a sudden do they have this desire to send Meraglim to scour out, to search, and to figure out if the land of Eretz Yisrael is appropriate for them or not? Why did this not happen immediately after Matan Torah? What's unique at this moment, where all of a sudden, Klal Yisrael desired Meraglim to head into the land of Eretz Yisrael to search and to make sure that Eretz Yisrael was proper, was appropriate? So I'll read you the language of the Netziv in the beginning of Parsha Shlach, who explains exactly the point that we just made. And he writes, V'hinei ba'amdam b'chorev, when Klal Yisrael at Matan Torah, u'betchilas nissi asa misham, and immediately upon leaving Matan Torah, Har Chorev, Har Sinai, haya be'emes b'daitam likanes b'zeh ha'ofen l'Eretz Yisrael, they were prepared to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael quickly, speedily, immediately. There would be no reason to send the Meraglim. They were flying on the coattails of God. The sea split. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu panim al panim at Matan Torah. They saw how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and fashioned Aseres Amakos. They didn't need anything else. They were simply going to fly, Kaviyachol, into the land of Eretz Yisrael. But listen to what the Netziv says. Alva bahalichos shalosh masos halalu. When they made three stops immediately after Matan Torah, and came the misonanim, came the asafsuf, came Chatzeros, and the complaint and the difficulty of Miriam, and the challenges and the relationship between her and her brother, and Miriam receiving tzaras, those three critical moments, those three watershed moments, the asafsuf, the misonanim, and Miriam and tzaras changed world history forever, and changed Klal Yisrael's fate forever. No longer would they simply enter Eretz Yisrael overnight, but it's going to take them another 40 years. Ro the hisponenu, says the Netziv. Ki kosha aleim lamod b'zeh ha'ofen. They weren't able to handle this miraculous, open miracle, the likes which where they were living during this time period from Yetzias Mitzrayim through Matan Torah. Ba'asher al pigilui shechina shebikirba, because of the intense hashra sashina that existed. If they would speak inappropriately, act inappropriately, it went right into God's ears. The Netziv gives a mashal, if somebody speaks inappropriately in the palace of the king is going to issue an edict immediately to kick them out of the palace. And that's what happened with Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, when there was such a deep, close relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And you complain, and you kvetch, asafsuf, the misonanim, Chatzeros and Miriam, Lashon Hara, it can't be tolerated. And immediately upon that, we are sent away, we are sent asunder, because it's not possible. K'mo shemidabrim bepaltin shel melech, says the Netziv. We no longer could be in God's presence, so close. And therefore, v'lomatzu atzma mucharim lamod beheichal melech malchei amlachem akadosh baruch hu. We no longer were able to sit in the palace of the king. We no longer were able to have this deep, meaningful relationship with akadosh baruch hu. And therefore, upon these three series of events, akadosh baruch hu says their relationship has to be changed. There needs to be some level of distance that's now going to be created. And therefore, based upon that, come the Meraglim. And then the Netziv quotes the commentary of the Ramban. Nachmanides famously writes in the beginning of Sefer and Parsha Shlach that this is the reason why you could understand and explain why Klal Yisrael had to send Meraglim. How could it be? Why Dafka now at this moment? Why Dafka at this period in Jewish history? Why right now, as the Netziv questioned, what happened? Why didn't they do this after Matan Torah when they were supposed to go to Eretz Yisrael? And the Netziv explains that it's normal, it's natural to want to send Meraglim to search out a land. This is the language of the Ramban. Every nation, every warring nation, when they're going to spy, when they're going to want to attack, the natural, the normal thing to do is to send spies. That's what everybody does. Says Nachmanides, every nation before attacking, there's a plan, there's an understanding, you have to go to battle, but you need to be prepared. You need to spy out the land. And to know the lay of the land. And then after you do a spy mission and reconnaissance mission, you're going to come back and report and explain what you have seen. And then the heads of the nation will give expert advice in terms of how to enter the land. Which way should we enter? From the north, from the south, from the east, from the west? How will we enter the land? And therefore, as a result, Klal Yisrael really were doing what was appropriate, what made sense, what was logical. They were doing what was necessary. V'zo eitza haguna, says the Ramban. It's only natural to do this. K'kol kovshe ha'aratzos, like any conquering, warring nation. V'chein asor Moshe atzma, Moshe himself, if you recall, later in Sefer B'Midbar says, v'yishlach Moshe l'ragel es Ya'ezer, before attacking the place called Ya'ezer in Eretz Yisrael, Moshe sent spies. Same thing with Yoshua, as we read in the Haftarah yesterday. Yoshua sent two spies to spy out the land of Israel. So therefore Moshe acquiesced to their request to enter Eretz Yisrael and to spy out the land. This is a critical language in the Ramban in terms of understanding the Meraglim. The Torah never wants us to rely on miracles. Right? We talk about miracles, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Kriyas Yamsuf. Those are things that are necessary. And the Ramban makes this point earlier in Sefer Shmos, in the end of Parshas Bo, that miracles are only there to allow us to recognize the natural existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. Miracles are there to hone our vision, to make us realize that sometimes you need something out of the ordinary, miraculous, to allow us to recognize God in the mundane and the everyday. Ki hakasuv lo yismoch b'chol ma'isav alanes, a critical comment of the Ramban. The Torah doesn't want us to live a life of miracles, of supernatural. Sometimes there are miracles and sometimes there are supernatural things that take place in order to hone our vision, to make us recognize that the mundane is also miraculous. Aval yitzav ben elchamim lehechaletz uli shamer le'arov. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us as a nation to fight, to be prepared, to send out an espionage mission. Kasher ba kasuv lechemes ha'ay. So therefore, these are all natural things. These are things that should take place. So if these are all natural, normal things that take place, why are we punished? And why is there a 40-year punishment to stay in the Midbar? What did we do wrong? If the Ramban explains that this is what should happen, this is what we should do, this is the normal thing to do, this is the appropriate thing to do, why were we punished? Why did Moshe tell us that we could go? Let's take a look at the first pasuk in Rashi's commentary on the pasuk. In Parshas Shlach, page 798, Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Beis, the Torah tells us that Hashem spoke to Moshe, Shlach Lecha Anashim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, send spies. Call Nasi Bahem, 12 chiefs of each of the tribes should go to tell Bnei Yisrael, what exactly they are prepared for and what's going to happen. So Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, go, HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesced. It's the right thing to do. And Rashi picks up on the word lecha. Shlach lecha. Pasuk Beis in Perek Yugemel, send forth your men if you please. And what does Rashi say, shlach lecha? The second Rashi, ledaitcha. If you need it, says Rashi. Lecha, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you think Klal Yisrael needs spies, if that's what you have to do, then do it. Ani, me, eini mitzav lecha. I'm not commanding you. God says, I'm not commanding you to send spies. Im tirtze shlach, if you want to send spies, then that is what you should do. Why? Rashi explains something that's missing in Parsha Shlach that's recounted in Sefer Dvarim. Lefishubo Yisrael v'amar nishloch anashim lefanenu. Bnei Yisrael came and said, we want you, Moshe, please, please send spies to the land of Israel. Kamar shenemar b'tikuvun alai kulchem. The pasuk says, all of Klal Yisrael came on Moshe and told Moshe, we want you to send spies. Moshe nimlach bashchina. Moshe asked God, should we send spies? Amar, listen to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani amarti lachem shehi tova. I told you that the land of Israel is terrific, is great, and everything is going to be fine. Shenemar ele eschem me'ani mitzrayim. Chayeyem shani nosilem makom litos bedivrei hameraglim. Leman Yeshua. I'm going to create a test for you, says God to the people. Maybe you're going to make a mistake. I'm telling you it's good. I promise you it's good. I guarantee you it's good. There's a plan. I'm going to take you out of Egypt. I'm going to give you the Torah. You're going to go to the land of Eretz. What else do you want? What other promise do you want? Why are you asking for spies? But if you need spies, then take the spies. Therefore, what do we see that emerges from Rashi? And you'll see in a moment, this is the Ramban's explanation and the Netziv's explanation of the Shiluach HaMeraglim. And the punishment, because Klal Yisrael, on their level, didn't need to send spies. This was the nation, the Dor HaMidbar, who saw Kadosh Baruch Hu so prominently and so clearly. What else do you need? I've showed myself to you in such a clear way. Through the Anane HaKavod, through the Slav, through the Be'er, the Man, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf Matan Torah. You don't need any other promise. You don't need any other guarantee. I've told you that I'm going to allow you to enter the land peacefully, safely. Yes, it's true that there's going to be a conquest and a war, and you're going to have to deal with that. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But take my word, says God. Enter the land of Israel the same way that I've taken you out of Mitzrayim. It's going to be perfect. But Klal Yisrael, after Parshas Baloscha, after the Misonanim, after the Asafsof, after Chatzeros and Miriam, they're no longer able to have this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where they're able just to rely on Hashem. They're no longer able simply to sit in the palace of the king and to see this relationship that they've had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu the last year. It changed. And immediately upon this change, they were forced to send Meraglim because they had succumbed and because they have dropped the level in their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So like the Ramban says, it's a normal, natural thing to do. But on their level, that's not what they should have done. And listen to the language of the Ramban, who explains this, as does the Netziv. He says, "Bavur shimro misishuas Hashem asher yasilem tamid." Klal Yisrael, the Dor HaMidbar, the nation that witnessed Kriyas Yamsuf Matan Torah, that saw Yitzias Mitzrayim and the Makas Bechoros, roem esishuas Hashem. They saw God. They saw God's salvation. This was a people five finger clarity. They saw the Borei Olam. They saw God. They should have traveled with the Anane HaKavod. They should have followed the clouds of glory. That the wind would have taken them. Moshe kibel mahem lemalos tavasam. Moshe acquiesced to their request because that's where the people were. The people shouldn't have been there. The people should have been in a different place. They should have been in the mindset of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. But because of this division, the divide that took place, the change in the relationship that took place in Parshas Baloscha, what's the next thing that happens? The Meraglim. And the Netziv makes this point in his Psicha. The Netziv makes this point in the beginning of Parsha Shlach. That because of this shift and this quick shift in their relationship, they no longer are able to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way that they were so recently at Kriyas Yamsuf. And this quick change that we described, and the Or Gedalia, Rabbi Gedalia Shoren, in his commentary on the Ramban in this week's Parsha, makes this point and says this quick, dramatic change that took place in Parsha Spaloska, right by the Nun and Hafuchim, the inverted nuns, the asafsuf, the misonanim, chatzeros, the quick change that took place did not allow them to simply follow the Ruach Hashem, the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, they changed to become ordinary human beings. And thus, the request for the sending of the spies was something that we could understand, but not on their level. That's not what they should have done. This request was inappropriate for a nation, for a community, for a people on their level. That's not what they should have requested. They should have simply entered quickly, swiftly, without any question. But this change and the request happened because of the change in the relationship, and thus explains the Netziv. That's why immediately after Parshas Baloscha is Parsha Shlach. Immediately after the Misonin in the Asafsuf and Chatzeros comes the Meraglim. Right now, they weren't going to send Meraglim after Har Sinai, after Matan Torah. That wasn't the question. That wasn't part of the game plan. It wasn't in the playbook. But now, because of the complaint and the shift in the relationship from the Hanhaga Nisis to the Hanhaga Tivis, the Hanhaga Tivis, the natural inclination and of man, of a nation, of a community, of a warring nation, of a conquesting nation, is to send spies. And therefore, the punishment is dak shebedakim. Really, really, they didn't do something terribly wrong. But where they were holding is not something that they should have done. And amazingly, the Ramban says that this is very, very similar to Sefer Shmuel. The request that Bnei Yisrael had for a king. What happened? Klal Yisrael wanted a king. Well, what's so wrong with having a king? It's not so bad. So says the Ramban, V'Hashem tzivo sh'yishlach ish echa kinyan sh'nemar b'Shmuel. Shma b'kol ha'am l'chol asher yomro elecha. God says to Shmuel, listen to the nation. They want a king. Shmuel, allow them to have a king. Kilo oscha ma'asu, ki osi ma'asu mimlochalei. Remember that language in Sefer Shmuel, Perek Ches. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Shmuel, allow them to have a king, his name will be Shaul. It's not you, Shmuel, who they despise. It's me who they despise, says God. Why do they despise me? Because they're not able to live a level that I expect of them. But they're no longer ready just to have a prophet. They need a king. They need to have some sort of relationship that's concretized, that's able to be tangible. Think about the Egel Hazav for a moment. It's the same change and shift in that relationship which takes place. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe's going to go out for 40 days, and he's going to come down. Klal Yisrael didn't see Moshe. They needed something tangible. They needed something to hold on to. The Meraglim were like the Cheta Egel, and the request for a king of Shaul was just the same way. And therefore, the Cheta Egel and the Cheta Meraglim are two of the real sins that speak loudly to this challenge that Bnei Yisrael placed upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we were holding, we shouldn't have asked for this. As I mentioned, if you take a look at the Sefer Or Gedaliah of Gedaliah Shor, you could also look in the Michtav Me'eliyah, Rabbi Leo Dessler, and Chelik Aleph. He makes this point, Sefer Samderech, Reb Simchel Zissel Broide, Rashiv of Chevron. He explains the Ramban like this in the Das Torah of Yerucham of the Mir. He also explains all of the commentaries, really the Pshat commentaries in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parsha Shlach, understand the request of the Meraglim coming from this place, from this natural inclination and desire from where they were at that moment. And this is the shift, as the Netziv has been describing, in all of Sefer Bamidbar, from the Hanhaga Tivis to the Hanhaga Nisus. Or Gedalia makes a second point, which is critical, and I think really speaks to us and who we are. And that is that it's always key to know where we are in our relationship with Hashem as a nation, as a community, and then as individuals. You know, if you think for a moment, living in America in 2020, Tavshin Pei Aleph, is different than living in Eastern Europe in 1920. It's a different world. Our relationship with Hashem is different. The shtetl life is different than the life that we live.
Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to change based upon where we are in history, where we are in time. And we need to understand where we are. Our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael is very different than our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Chutz La'aretz. The Pasuk says in Sefer Dvarim that Eretz Yisrael is the Einei Hashem Elkecha Mereishis Hashana Racher Hashana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after us in the land of Israel, looks after the land of Israel from day one till day 354. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks after us every moment. There's that constant relationship that exists. But that shifted. And at the end of the time of prophecy with Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, when there no longer was this open, clear revelation, when the end of prophecy came, that shifted our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like it shifted right now in Parshas Baloscha in Teshlach with the Meraglim. And there has to be a very clear understanding where our relationship is. The same way with any relationship we have, family, community, employee, employer, there has to be understanding of where we are in that relationship. And if that relationship is off base, it doesn't work. You see this very often in relationships where there's a give and a take. When somebody who's the recipient doesn't want to be a recipient and wants to be on equal footing, it creates a very, very difficult situation. Very often when you're visiting somebody or dealing with somebody who needs to be a recipient and the recipient doesn't want to be a recipient, the relationship becomes imbalanced and it becomes difficult to give. Because the recipient doesn't want to be a recipient, the recipient wants to be a giver. And that creates a very, very tough situation where there's like a tug of war, who's who. And that's what's happening right now in the Midbar. That when the transition goes from the Hanhaga Nisis to the Hanhaga Tivis, Klal Yisrael all of a sudden is enwrapped in this very, very quick change. And the Sam Derech of Simchas Zissel Brody explains this as well. This very dramatic, dramatic change. Up until this point, we were living with God in the cocoon, in the laboratory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With Yitzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Kriyas Yamsuf, with Yanane HaKavod, we were cuddling with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And all of a sudden, because of this very quick change that takes place, the relationship changes, and all of a sudden we send Meraglim, which is a normal thing to do, but that's not what Hashem wanted of us. So HaKadosh Klal Yisrael says, well, I don't understand. We're going to leave the Midbar. We're entering Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you want us to work the land, to till the soil, to be able to work the way Menashe is supposed to work, not the way Ephraim. And if that's the case, Klal Yisrael say that therefore we'll send Meraglim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's too early. This is not the point for the change in the relationship. The change in the relationship is not supposed to take place in the Midbar. The change in the relationship is supposed to take place when you enter Eretz Yisrael. Slowly I'm preparing you for that change. And I'm going to send Sichon and Emori to attack. And I'm going to slowly begin to remove you. The same way that the mother removes her child from nursing. I'm going to give you a little bit of food. And in the Midbar, Klal Yisrael receive a little bit of this teva, of the hanhagativis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want you to leave my relationship with you on the hanhaganesis so quickly. That's not what I want. That's not what I desired. I didn't want you to send Meraglim. It's true you want to send Meraglim because that's what you need. But that's not the relationship that's ordered for right now. That relationship is going to happen when you cross the border from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael. And when you cross the border into Eretz Yisrael, it's at that point that you're going to no longer just be able to go to the bear and there's going to be water. You're not just going to be able to open up your door and see the mun and the slav. It's at that point that you're going to have to dig. You're going to have to take a hoe and an axe and you're going to have to dig the land and till the soil and you're going to have to plant seeds. Hazorim bedima barina yiktsoru. But only when you enter Eretz Yisrael is that supposed to happen. You are reacting too quickly. And you want to change that relationship now? I didn't call for that. The relationship's not supposed to be changed. It's only supposed to change in Eretz Yisrael. And because of the quick misonanim in the asafsof, and because everything that takes place, the relationship shifts very, very quickly, very dramatically, and Klal Yisrael can't catch up with it. And therefore, when you think about the punishment of the 40 years in the Midbar, every punishment is fit to the crime. Punishments doesn't just mean you patch the kid. Punishment doesn't just mean you go to your room. A punishment that's correct speaks to the crime and is supposed to fix it. Going to jail is an easy fix. You put the dangerous individual behind bars because they're a menace to society. But a real fix is when the punishment speaks to the crime. Here, Klal Yisrael say, we're not yet ready. We're not prepared to enter Eretz Yisrael. It's very clear. And therefore, you need more time in the Midbar. You need more time to nurse. You need more time to settle that relationship. You're not ready yet to enter Eretz Yisrael. You need more time with me. And therefore, the 40 years in the Midbar is a lengthening, is an extension of this relationship because you can't leave me yet. It's true. You're ready to enter Eretz Yisrael, but there still has to be something else. You still need more time with the Anan. You still need more time with the Be'er. You still need more time with the Slav, just like the child is not yet ready to leave the house. The child is not yet ready to stop nursing. Klal Yisrael have shown that they're not yet prepared to enter Eretz Yisrael. Yes, they're ready to send Miraglim. They're changing their relationship, but they still need more time next to a Kadosh Baruch Hu because they can't be prepared yet to make that shift. This national change is also true on an individual level as well. We always question, not just philosophically and not just academically, but practically as well, how much hishtadlus and how much bitachon, right? The age-old question. How much should I just trust and rely, emun and bitachon, and how much should I mishtadel? This is true in the workforce. This is true in medical needs. This is true in so many areas of life. How much should I mishtadel? How hard should I work? How many miraglim should I send? How much do I have to push? Where am I? So the answer has to be, it depends who I am. There's no one answer that fits all. The question of how much I should be boteach and how much I should be mishtadel is dependent upon the individual. And this you learn from the Meraglim. The punishment that the Meraglim received and that Klal Yisrael received for the 40 years in the Midbar is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're not there. The relationship that I desire with you is not the relationship that you're prepared for. And therefore, you need more time in my cocoon. And Kaviyachol, it's not such a terrible punishment, even though they don't enter Eretz Yisrael, which is the dream, they still are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in our relationship with Hashem, and in our relationship with the world in front of us, that's always the question that has to be asked. Where am I? And punishment comes when a person is doing something that's not appropriate for them, on his or her level. If I'm acting out of part because of who I am, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's not who you are, I expect more from you. If a person is mishtadel, a person works, a person is engaged in the world and in the life that they live because that's where they are and they're honest with himself or herself, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that makes sense and I will work with you in that relationship. But when an individual has a deeper, closer relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Bnei Yisrael did in the Midbar, and then they say, well, we want to send Miraglim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, really? We have a different relationship. We're married to each other. We're so close to each other. I'm telling you, I'm promising you, I'm guaranteeing you that you're entering the land of Eretz Yisrael. Why do you need an intermediary? I'm going to give you the Torah. I'm going to give you the Luchos. What do you need an Egel Hazav for? I don't understand. I've given you everything. I've promised you everything. I'm giving you the greatest gift, the greatest matana. What else do you want? You want Miraglim? Okay, that's fine. You're allowed to send Miraglim. But if you want to send Miraglim, recognize that the relationship is going to change today, and it changes today. And thus the fate of Klal Yisrael for another 39 years in the Midbar, because they're not yet ready for Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is going to be a place where you're going to have to work. You're going to have to struggle. There's going to be war. There's going to be conquest. There's going to be battle. That's the way I want it to be. I want you to do that. We're not supposed to live a life of nisim gluyim. Just like the Ramban says, Ein akasav rotzei lismoch al hanes. The Torah doesn't rely us on miracles. Miracles is not what we're expected to be living based upon. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to enter the land of Eretz Yisrael after Kriyas Yam Suf, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, after Matan Torah. I'm setting it up so you see me. We've created this relationship, and it's so deep and it's so real, and you're going to enter Eretz Yisrael, you're going to cross the border from the Midbar into Eretz Yisrael, and there you're going to work, and you're going to see a new relationship with me. You're going to see how I relate to you, behanhaga tivis. But when Klal Yisrael send the Miraglim, they don't believe in themselves. They don't think that they could be warriors. They don't think that they could till the soil. They don't think that they could plant, and they don't think that they could have trees. They don't recognize that they'll be able to live during the year of Shemitah. They're living the world of the Anan and the Be'er and the Slav, and when they see these giants, and when they see Eretz Yisrael, and they see that it's fortified, and they see that they're warring nations, they say, we can't do this without the Hanhaga Nisus. We can't do this without the miraculous. We need the Ananim. We need the Be'er. We need the Slav. We want that relationship. We want to be back cuddled by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you want that, okay, so come back to the Midbar. But I can't let you into Eretz Yisrael yet, because you're not prepared, you're not ready. Because Hashem says, you can have a relationship with me, b'derech hateva. But you're going to have to push. Up until this point in the Midbar, I was the driving force. I let you out of Egypt. I gave you the Torah. I split the sea. I gave you the Anane HaKavod. I gave you the sustenance. I gave you the hydration. And you just sat back. I cleaned your laundry. Everything was taken care of. But now when you enter Eretz Yisrael, you're going to do that. You need to find me. You need to daven. You need to look. You need to look up to heaven. You're going to have to ask me. You're going to have to make brachos. You're going to have to show your interest. And if you do that, then you'll find me. But I have to be a little bit more hidden because the Hanhaga Nisus is changing. And when Klal Yisrael enter through the Miraglim, and they see what they see, they say, we can't do this without the Anane HaKavod. We can't do this without the Hanhaga Nisus. We can't do this. We can't be the ones to fight. We don't know how to do it. We're not going to be able to attack Sichon and Ov. We're not going to be able to wipe out the Shiva Amimim with the Hanhaga Tivis. We need you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to protect us, to watch over us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I told you you could do it. You can do it. I promised you. I took you out of Egypt. I crossed you the sea. I gave you the Torah. I told you, I did that. You left Egypt, you made it to Matan Torah. You made it to Matan Torah, the next step is Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu tells his father-in-law. Klal Yisrael is not prepared to follow Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is ready to take them. But Eldar and Medar, you remember them? They were misnabim b'machaneh. Last week's parsha. They send Moshe Mesvi Yoshua Machnes. Moshe is going to die and Yoshua is going to enter them to the land of Eretz Yisrael. And the Mefarshim explain, including the Netziv, including the Or Gedal Yahu, and including all the classic commentaries, they explain that that means that the Hanhag of Moshe, the world of Moshe, of prophecy, of clarity, of Nisim Gluyim, of Makas Bechoros, of Aseres Hamakos, is no longer. Moshe Meis, Moshe's death is burying the Hanhaga Nisus. And now you enter Eretz Yisrael with Yehoshua, because Yehoshua is going to be the one who's going to lead you in a different fashion. He's going to lead you through the Hanhaga Tivis. And when they hear this prophecy, they understand that that means that our relationship is changing, therefore send Miraglim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you didn't read the message right. The message is that you could only enter the land of Eretz Yisrael the way Moshe is supposed to take you, through the miraculous. But when you enter Eretz Yisrael, there you'll start to relate to me, Behanhaga Tivis. But Klal Yisrael weren't ready to do that when they entered Eretz Yisrael, therefore they had to send the Miraglim earlier at this point in year one of the Midbar. And if you're not prepared, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you know what's going to happen, then I have to change my relationship with you. Kimayim panim el panim kein lev ha'adam el ha'adam. And therefore the relationship shifts and changes, and sort of sadly, when it's supposed to be uplifting, when we're supposed to be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because we're the pushers, because we're the driving force in Eretz Yisrael, the relationship happens too quick. And that shift and that change happens in the Midbar. It wasn't supposed to happen there. We were simply supposed to enter Eretz Yisrael without Miraglim. But when the Miraglim came and the Miraglim were sent, although it was understandable, it wasn't understandable on their level. And therefore, the punishment to stay in the Midbar for another 40 years. So therefore, on a collective level, on a national level, we see in our history this constant challenge in the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have this revealed relationship with Him. And only when we enter Eretz Yisrael is that relationship supposed to change. And so too in our own lives, in our personal lives, in our familial lives, we now have to understand what our relationship is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's hidden. And we can't just sit back and look for God in a miraculous way. That's not our calling today. Not after the Miraglim, not after the end of prophecy, not in Golos. That's what we pine for and daven for in Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim, Ircha, Barachim, Tash, we're waiting for that relationship to change, where we will have Karbanos, and we will have prophets, and we will see Gilui Shechina. That's the relationship that we're hoping for, waiting for, davening for with Bayis HaShlishi. But right now, during Churban Bayis, the world that we're living in the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, in the world that's without a Yerushalayim HaBenuya, a world that's without the Beis HaMikdash, our relationship has to be one where we're the driving force, where we're looking for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And wherever we let HaKadosh Baruch Hu in, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That's what Hashem wanted from the door that was entering Eretz Yisrael, not the door HaMidbar. And immediately upon the door HaMidbar, sending Meraglim, the Asafsuf, the Misonanim, Chatzeros, that relationship changes. So it's a fascinating insight of the Ramban, of the Netziv, throughout Sefer Bamidbar, the commentaries explaining the Netziv, and the commentaries explaining the Ramban. And as you follow the commentary of the Netziv and his parish, the Emek Dabar, throughout Sefer Bamidbar, he stresses this very dramatic shift that changes. The door HaMidbar, the door of Hanhaganesis to the door of Hanhagativius, and this very, very quick dramatic change creates a lot of the tumult and a lot of the confusion of the door HaMidbar. It's a challenge when we enter the Midbar. A lot of difficulties when we cross the Yam Suf, we enter the Midbar. We have so many struggles in year one. And then again, we see it happen and recur again and again, over and over again. This relationship needs to be clarified, needs to be understood, needs to be reorganized. And when it's not clear enough, that's when the struggles begin. Kadosh Baruch Hu expects very much of us, but we have to know where our relationship is. This is the Ramban, the Netziv's understanding of the Meraglim and the Chet. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful week.